Good morning again, everyone. We are headed to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. One verse this morning. Romans 10, verse 9. We've been spending some time in the Gospel of John together. That's our series. We're walking through John. We're about halfway through. We're actually making it to, we're up to the point of John where the second half of the book is this final week of the life of Jesus. So that's where we'll be most of this year going forward. But today, Romans 10, verse 9. What is Easter to you? And we're not looking for the church answers. We know it's Jesus, right? That's Amen. Easter. Is it Easter egg hunts with your kids or grandkids? That's part of it, right? That's a big part of it. Is it Sunday afternoon meals with those closest to you that maybe you don't find quite enough time with anymore? You'll see them today. Maybe it's the various family traditions, or it's the food. It's definitely the food. It's part or all the food. It's the meal. It's the dessert. The experience of the whole family sitting around you at church this morning, maybe. That's part of it. Easter is many things to us, right? We wouldn't nail it to one thing. We have many memories over the past several years. We also know what it is above all things. It's a celebration of the resurrection of the Son of God. That's where we're going to stand together for a few moments this morning. We're not headed to a 3 or 4 point outline. We're not doing anything too extravagant or too long-winded. Well, maybe slightly long-winded, but we'll get there. Simple look, one verse, that if we truly lean in and believe, this one verse changes everything. So Romans 10, verse 9, let's stand as we read it out loud together, and then we'll dive in. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and we thank you for your holy word. Help us gather around it and lean in together this morning, and help us leave this place applying it to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are headed to the Lord's table by the end of service. We've done this every Sunday in March, so we'll get there again today. If you need some more of these in your pews, we've got some more down front, or people can, from the less empty pews, they can toss you some over or whatever, but we will get there again this morning. This verse is a summary of what believing the gospel looks like. That's what this verse is. It's a summary of what we believe as Christians. It contains two main parts for us to lean in and to do. There's two parts there, and there's one promise from Him. Our two things are confession and genuine heart faith. That's what this verse points to. The confession is the easy part. Right? It's the proclaiming that Jesus is who he says he is. That's the confession. I believe in the Son of God. I believe Jesus is God and is my Lord and Savior. Lord, meaning not some magical genie at your beck and call when needed, but Lord as in is over me and I will follow him. That's the Lord. Then Savior, meaning a belief that you needed saving from something. Don't need a Savior if you need to be saved. Saving from what? A saving from ourselves. From our own desires, our own sin. right? All are sinners and fallen short of a holy God, all since the very beginning, Adam and Eve. And this holy God requires perfection to be with him. And it's not our idea. It's not this sort of perfection that we claim to have already. We have things maybe in our lives we think are perfect. We've had perfect moments, or maybe we do things perfectly. Is anyone in here perfect? Wives, or any of your husbands in here perfect this morning? Husbands, it's not looking too good for you. No hands raised. Husbands, are any of your wives perfect in here this morning? That was your chance to score points.
We are in church.
It's not our kind of perfection, like ice cream and a warm blanket and reclined on the couch. That would be perfection for many in my house, maybe many in yours. Rather, it's a holy perfection, and that holy perfection cannot be achieved. And that's what we do not really grasp. We think of it from time to time. We don't really grasp it. We think we're pretty good, all things considered, right? You wanted to strangle a couple people last week, and you didn't do it, so you're doing pretty good. Scripture says otherwise. No one is righteous, no, not one. Everyone has gone their own way. Everyone has turned from God. That first means you're not alone in your fallenness. Everyone has done it. And it means we cannot ever get out of this fallenness on our own. It's the reason for Jesus. Two destinations after this life for all people who have ever lived. No exceptions. Eternity is real, and everybody has one. And one of those destinations is the rightly deserved judgment and separation from God forever. Deserved. We earned it. That place is hell. It should be our destination. Because we turn our back on Him who created all things. We do it in all sorts of ways, and we do it every day. Now, destination number two is a bit more preferred, right? Eternal joy with our Creator and Sustainer. Jesus came and lived the perfect life and stood in our place to take our judgment so that heaven could replace the hell we deserve. If we believe in Him. If we profess that faith. Now, the profession is the easy part, right? Sometimes too easy. Many people profess and then they go about their normal, sinful, rebellious lives like He doesn't really care that what you say doesn't match with what you do, what you feel within. That's not real faith, and we know this because of our own lives. We can put this together. We have plenty of examples to turn to in our own lives that see when words don't really match our thoughts. Many examples. Maybe you got big Easter dinner plans today. Have you ever had to try someone else's new dish? They come to you, hey, I got this new thing. I just made it, created it, put everything in my house in it. It's going to be great. Taste it. And you went, yeah, pretty good. Maybe you hide it better than me. Words not matching thoughts or feelings. We understand that. Part two of our verse takes care of that. It's not words alone. What does it say? Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. So not only profess our faith, but also believe in our hearts. And this phrase means real, means genuine, means what you say comes from your core. A core that Proverbs 21:2 says this: every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now, in reality, we don't want the Lord to weigh our sinful, stone-like hearts. It's part of why the faith within cannot be hidden, because real faith within comes from a changed heart by God. Change like Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's us. Change like Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So real, genuine, from the core, faith given to you by God in what? Well, this verse says that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we tend to overlook that detail in every day of the year, really, except one, right? Easter Sunday. That's what we gather for. Easter Sunday is about the empty tomb. Easter Sunday is about the risen Jesus. Why is this so important? We know about his life and his teachings and his miracles. We know about his encounters with the religious leaders and his popularity with the people. And we know his claims to be the Son of Man and Son of God. We know he says he's the Word of God and the light of the world. He claims to be God. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. The Son is from the Father and equal to the Father. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's where we've been in John so far in our series. Maybe equal to the claim of being God, which is the claim that gets him killed. Maybe equal to that claim is John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus comes and says that he is the one the world awaits, and the prophecies are fulfilled by him, and he is from God and is God, and the only way to God is through him. These are the things he was killed for, his cross for us, and his claims and his miracles getting there. The betrayal of one of the 12, Judas, gets him there. The blindness of the Pharisees and the cowardice or the politics of the Romans get him there. All the events of his ministry over 3 years combined to put him on the cross, and yet we know the cross was for us and was planned before even time began. God so loved the world that before the foundations of the universe ever existed, he knew we would fall short, and the plan was the Son on the cross for us. We know all these things, and yet this Sunday we celebrate maybe the most important part, and the most important part is overlooked for most of the year. His tomb is empty. Now, there are somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 religions in the world. 85% of humans on this planet claim some religious faith. That's something like 7 billion people or close to it. That feels like a big number to us because in our own country, it's actually something like 60% of our own country now does not claim some religious faith connection. Many in our own country do not claim it now at all. But they are religious. They've just switched it. They've applied it somewhere else. It's now climate or politics or nationalism, liberalism, any of the isms. Everyone fills the void with something. Everyone worships. So 4,000 religions with religious leaders and only one empty tomb. One grave that was occupied and now is not because the occupant is no longer dead but lives. And that's not just the Bible claim. The Bible teaches the empty grave and the Bible is the very word of God and every word on every page is true. We can trust it. But history says Jesus existed. Says the events around the cross happened. Says Jesus was doing unexplainable things. And says Jesus died, was crucified. Says the grave was empty. History says people claim to see the risen Jesus and died for that claim. Death, or say it was false, and they chose death. The Jewish community claims to this day that Jesus was a man who was killed for standing against Rome, and then his followers stole the body. They admit the tomb was empty. The Romans, in Scripture, pay the guards to say the disciples stole the body to keep people from going crazy. The tomb is empty. Why is this important? If he did not defeat the grave, then he was not who he says he was. Which means we are not who we say we are, which is sinners saved. That's what hangs in the balance when we talk about Jesus rising from the grave. Our salvation secure or not, by him being God or not, and the empty grave proves Son of God. And some will say, well, Jesus raised the dead in his ministry. We're about to enter the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus brought people back to life, so why is Jesus defeating death any different? That's a good question, and it has a simple answer. They did not claim to be God. They claimed to be healed by God. Jesus claims to be God. Jesus claims to be doing the will of the Father on earth. Jesus claims to be sent by the Father and does the ministry of the Father. And that ministry has him standing against the religious elite. Those ones who follow God and tell others how to follow God now stand against a man claiming to be the Son of God. It is them that want him dead. Both sides can't be right. Then the man says to his followers, I'm going to be killed for what I'm teaching here. But that's okay, because 3 days later I will come back. Then he comes back. If he was not really from God and not really the Son of God, then God would definitely not have brought him back. Do we see that? He is who he says he is. And his teachings prove it. Prophecies fulfilled centuries later prove it. His miracles prove it. His empty tomb proves it. But more than that, his spirit within the believer proves it. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, or do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Romans 5, 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, but if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we belong to him. That we have repented and come to God, and that Jesus is our Savior. Holy Spirit moved and indwelled. Our faith proclaimed and our faith felt from within comes from the Holy Spirit of God that was sent to us by the Son of God. Now, how can we know that that is true? How can we know that is true for us? It is not by somehow being perfect. That's where people go. Perfection was his to do, not ours. It is not by being sinless. Sinlessness is not a thing for us in this life. Two steps forward, one step back, or two steps back, or three steps back, right? Can't remember the last time you took a step forward was. That's life. Don't get down on yourself because things haven't been perfect. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, right? Not the perfect. He came for the lost sheep and not the ones that had all things together. How we tell is the small steps that we take. How we tell is our remorse for turning our backs on God. How we tell is the repentance in our life, the turning from the things that drag us down. Your God bigger than whatever weighs you down, whatever your mind is on right now. Even more than that, your God and your Savior died for you so that you don't have to stand there anymore. And if you believe, you truly believe, then He has sent His Spirit to reside within you, and you'll never be alone again. Will never ever be anything but saved and redeemed ever again. You feel it, that's how you tell. Then you grow that feeling. Prayer to God grows that feeling, that connection. The reading of God's Word grows that feeling. It is by the very Word of God that we are saved, His power proclaimed and revealed through His Word. And you have it in your hands. So you lean in. You lean into one another, being a part of the family of God. That's how you grow that faith. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. It's the gathered family of God worshiping His holy name and remembering how we went from sinners to sinners saved. Jesus lived as God on earth. Then Jesus was tortured for His claims. Then crucified in our place. The sinless in place of the sinner. His payment sealed by His death for all who believe, and His promises proved true by the empty tomb. If you have confessed Jesus, and you do have that mind-altering, heart-changing, life-giving faith within, then you do also have something else. You have the promise of this verse. The promise that you will be saved. Salvation is yours if you believe. Will always be yours. That's where we've been in John together in our series. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Can never be taken away. Spirit indwelled does not mean perfect, but it does mean that your many imperfections cannot affect or change or remove your eternal life. The sins you still struggle with and struggle through cannot touch your eternity if you are His. If His Spirit is within and warring on your behalf, you no longer want to embrace the sins in your life, but you will. And when you do, He is still with you. That's why we celebrate Easter. It's not for the Easter eggs or the fancy dinners or for the time with friends and family. All good things, but not ultimate things. We celebrate Easter because ultimately the one who knew no sin took our sin with Him to the grave. The one who was perfect died so the imperfect could see heaven. Then He left that grave, walked among His people, and then He returned to the Father to come again one day soon. And in between, He sent His Spirit to all who believe. That's Easter. And as we celebrate Easter together, we ask ourselves a question. Do we believe? Truly believe in the one who gave His life so that those who deserve death could have eternal life instead? Do you believe the words of Paul in our one verse this morning, Romans 10:9? Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe? If you have faith, then praise God. Praise the Son of God in your place. Celebrate Easter like you've been given a gift, because you have. It's eternal life. We're also going to celebrate Easter this morning at the Lord's table together. That's where we're headed here in a moment. Today we gather in remembrance of the one who died in our place and defeated the grave. Scripture says when we break bread and share the cup together in remembrance, we shouldn't do it in an unworthy manner. That means if you have some ongoing sin in your life, or it just feels off to you or convicting to you to partake, then simply refrain from the table this morning. No judgments from us, and it is up to you. What we call the Last Supper happened with Jesus and his disciples on the last night of his life before the cross. That's where we are this morning. He would be in the tomb by sunset the next day. He was just 4 days removed from everyone in Jerusalem celebrating his entrance into the city upon that donkey. Hosea in the highest. That's where he was. 4 days later, the Last Supper, the next day, crucified. Just a few hours from this moment we remember, gathered with his disciples, his betrayer would be turning him over to his executioners. That betrayer sits at the table as he breaks bread. One of the 12 closest people to him, hearing his words, seeing his signs, but did not truly believe. Make sure you truly believe. The cups, I think some of you in the back have got the cups with the film on top. That's the bread, and then the whole thing pulls for the juice. And then down front are newer, so the bread is on bottom. And then you turn it over for the juice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that we have in remembrance of the Son dying in our place, in remembrance that he is risen. And Father, right now we lean in and remember what was done for us, his body broken, his blood spilled on our behalf. And Father, now as we lean into his body broken, help us take this bread together while we remember his sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Did everybody get one? Take and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this morning. We thank you that we can lean into his body broken. We break this bread together in remembrance of that and his blood shed on our behalf. Help us remember these things as we lean into the bread and the cup this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mark 14 says this about this night that he's gathered around this table. These are his words to his disciples. As they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Take and drink together. As we go our many ways this morning and celebrate Easter, I hope we do so while remembering who He is and who we are to Him. He is the Creator and Sustainer of the world, and He is the Son of God, and He is God, and He is our Savior. Who are we to Him? Someone loved in such a way that even though crucifixion was the path, He walked it anyway. The unworthy deemed worthy by Jesus. Is that who you are? Only if you believe. Do you believe? You can this morning. Realize who you are and who He is. See and repent of the things standing in your way. Then, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Bring anything at all as we sing. Happy Easter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning we've had gathered in worship of Your holy name and gathered around Your holy word. Father, help us now in these moments, these final moments together this morning, to lean in to just who You say You are for us. To just what Jesus has come and done for us. And help us to lean in and search who we are to You. Have we been saved by the Son of God? I hope the answer is yes. And the answer is only yes if we truly believe in Him. Help us search that out in ourselves this morning, and help us take that with us through our walks throughout the day and the days and weeks ahead. Help us be a carrier of Your gospel message in such a way that people see us and they want to know who that man named Jesus really was and is. It's in Jesus' name we pray.